There's no pain in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. I thought somebody was going to clap. There's no evil in heaven. Ain't no racism in heaven. That's what we just, everybody needs to go there. And so I did watch the news. And so if you have a problem with what's on the screen, racism, floods, oppression, murder, rape, cancer, a disrespectful child, gun violence, abortion. Why do you have problems with these? Why do these things bother you? Why are you saying this is wrong? Wave your hand if these things bother you. If this really is messing with you. Because last week we talked about morality is on the inside of each one of us. We were born with morals. We were born with a conscience. Everybody say conscience. 1 Timothy 1:19 says, keep the faith and a good conscience. Everybody say good conscience. Which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Conscience. Conscience is kind of like a science work. So science actually proves God, and science proves that good is on the inside of us. Conscience. You can't have conscience without the word science. Conscience. Con, joined together, sire, S-C-I-R-E, to be aware of guilt or aware of moral knowledge or morals. How do we make judgment calls? How do we know that racism, if you want to go back to that slide, floods, oppression, murder, rape, cancer, how do you know that's wrong? How do you know that? Why should we even take issue with these things? Because we were born with a conscience. Morals, we have a built-in moral compass. Where did it come from? Everybody say, where did it come from? It came from God, because God is the moral giver, all right? I'm going to speed through this. Everybody say, God is the moral giver. He puts good on the inside of us, all right? Now, if we ignore it, then there's consequences, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So when you see this little guy on the screen and he looks like he's trying to make accusations, you're going to see him a lot today. And I may try to mimic his voice. I don't know how well I'm going to do, but he's basically saying, if morality is, yeah, that's not going to be a good impersonation. Basically, he says, if morality, I'll get loud when I see his face. Because a lot of times people do get loud when they say, you're a Christian. Why you have evil in the world? You a Christian? Why? I'll get to these questions. I'm getting ahead of myself. This guy is saying right now, if morality is on the inside of each one of us, why does it look like everything around us is immoral and evil is winning? That's actually a juicy question or accusation. He says, I thought God was in control. Won't he stop evil? Man, we like to shout and say, God is in control, especially normally hear this at funerals. Yes, they're laying there, but God is still in control. Is that comforting? Is that really comforting to many of us when people say, God is in control? It sounds like it's almost like something that we just throw out there so we don't have to explain anything. Like, so we don't have to, we don't, like, now obviously there's a lot that we don't know, amen? But there's a lot that we should know and that we should have an answer, like the Bible says, to be ready to give an answer of the hope that's in you. Be ready to give them an answer. All right? Amen? So I thought your God was sovereign. What is sovereign? What does sovereign mean? What does sovereignty mean? Basically, my little Fafar South Carolina definition is, everybody say unstoppable, purpose, and will. His will is unstoppable and his purpose is unstoppable. I thought your God was in control. I watched the news this week. I'm like, God, where you at? I mean, the killings, the record, gun violence in some states, and maybe news, and maybe old news to you guys, but it was new news to me. The record violence, the killings, the rape, there was two guys I saw in the news. Again, it may be old news to you, it's new to me. They went into the TJ Maxx and calmly walked out with $895 worth of merchandise because they know the law in California is it's a misdemeanor if it's under a certain dollar amount. So they just walked out and say, I ain't going to get in trouble. So they are knowingly stealing with no conscience. But Alpheus, I thought you said we were born with a moral compass on the inside of us. I thought you said that good is on the inside of all of us. I did just say that. So what's the conflict? What's the tension? Why are we seeing that? Everybody repeat after me. God, I think I got this graphic from Frank Turek, all right? You should look him up. Awesome apologetic apologist. God is responsible for the fact of freedom, but we as humans are responsible for the act of freedom. This graphic says for their acts of freedom. Free will actually is an answer to many of the questions. But there's actually going to be some tension when you use free will to answer why is it so much evil in the world? Because we are free to do whatever we want. Amen? We are free. I thought your God was in control. He is. God is sovereign. We cannot confuse that. God is unstoppable. His purpose is unstoppable. His will is unstoppable. So much, Proverbs 16:4, if you want to turn there, if you want to read on the screen, Proverbs 16:4 says, and by the way, the name of the teaching today is a hard pill to swallow. This is going to be, I'm going to run out of here when I say amen. I'm just going to run out. Because this is a hard pill to swallow. And I do encourage you guys to do some more digging after I'm finished. All right? Don't take everything I'm saying and saying, that's what he said. That's what I have to accept. All right? First of all, I am aligning what I'm saying with the word of God. Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord has made everything for its purpose. Everybody say its purpose. Cell phone has a purpose. Me, you and I have a purpose. Even the wicked for the day of trouble. The mismanagement of freedom triggers evil. Each one of us have a decision to make. Every decision against something is a choice for something else. All right? I'm rejecting God, then I'm accepting something else. I am choosing to disobey and reject God's word. And so I am actually accepting another path. Amen? The mismanaged, we are free to do whatever we want. What we are seeing on CNN and the other news, Fox, what was the other one that the Olympics is on? NBC, is a mismanagement of freedom. When we see those guys, free will, going to TJ Maxx, they are mismanaging their freedom. Disobeying and rejecting God's word is rejecting a roadmap. Rejecting God's recommendations. Everybody say it's only a recommendation. God would not force us into heaven against our will. Y'all heard me say that before. Rejecting his recommendations, his commands, and wisdom will set you up for failure. Where do we get his recommendations from? From, and I think Ms. Veda and Love back here. It's the only paper Bible save saints in here. Anybody else has? We get it from the word of God. Hold your word up for me. I should just come over there and give you a hug just for, if it wasn't for COVID. Where are we getting? You got something over there looks like a Bible. Well, it doesn't matter. We got it right here, and we have hidden God's word in our hearts. Amen. That's the roadmap. But when we reject the roadmap, it will set us up for failure. But what if you have trouble with the Bible. What if you have trouble with the Bible and you say, I'm going to reject God. I don't want anything to do with God. As a matter of fact, don't complain about evil. Don't complain about wrong. Because once you complain about evil and injustice, and if you're an atheist, it's like, how do you know an interception is wrong? From a football, I'm not really a football guy, but I do know that an interception is wrong. How do you know? Y'all can talk to me. How do you know player A catches the ball for an interception? Player B catches the ball for a touchdown. Which one is bad? Bad for the offense. Yep, that's which one is wrong? If you are on the offense and then your teammate catches the ball and then there's an interception, is that good or bad? All right? But player B catches the ball for a touchdown. If you're on the offense, is that good or bad? Well, how do you even know that's good? How do you know that's good? The rules. Who set the rules? We know that that's an interception is wrong because of the rules. Who made the rules? There's a playbook. Everybody say a playbook. Because can we say an interception is not wrong? Will we ever look at an interception as being a good thing if we're on the offense? Perhaps, but now we're doing what? We're changing the what? We're changing the rules. And then now this is a what? It's a different game. It's an entire different game. That's how we know an interception is wrong, because of the playbook and because of the person that made the playbook that we put our trust in when we choose to participate in the game and or watch the game or enjoy the game. Or sign up to play the game. Y'all getting this? Romans 1 says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge the playbook, read it what it said. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, they didn't see fit. It didn't fit my agenda. It ain't cool. It is not in. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Seemed like to me God just gave them what they asked for, all right? They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness. CNN is showing all of this malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of what? Of evil. Inventing, it seems like to me, once you reject God, you become an inventor. When you reject the things of God, you become an inventor. What are you inventing? What are you creating? You are inventing some sort of evil something. Amen. Disobedient to parents. This is in the word of God. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. A decision for something is a choice for something else. Or a decision against something is a choice for something else. I think y'all got that. Then why did God create man to create evil? It's another question. Why did God, if God is sovereign, that means his will, his purpose is all powerful. He is unmatched. He is the ultimate potentate. I think that's the word. Y'all know what that means. My daddy used that word in whatever he's in. Potentate means somebody important. My daddy ain't so much. Come back. He is sovereign. So why did God, by the way, y'all know evil is not surprising to God, right? Nothing ever occurs to God God is not surprised. He's not taken by surprise. He doesn't. God never, ever sits and say, for what? Because when we say, we're thinking about something we need to think about. God never goes into a room and forget why he goes into the room. Amen. Any one of us has ever done that? Yes, y'all tired of hearing it? I'll be 40 this year. I've been doing it before I was 40. Inventing evil. So God created man to create evil? I'm not going to answer that right now. What is your answer? If it's no, if it's yes, how are you supporting that answer? Evil is not a thing. This is a kind of a replay, just revisit. Evil is not a thing on its own. The lack of good gets you evil and proves free will. All right? I got a cut on my finger. I take away my finger. I no longer have the cut. I take away the cut. I still have the finger. All right? I have a shadow because of the sun. You take away the sun, you don't have the shadow anymore. Amen? Rust on a car, you take away the rust, you still have the car. Take away the car, you no longer what? Have the rust. The less good there is in a situation, you start to notice evil. Immorality and the elevation of sin. It only makes sense or visible next to the backdrop of good. If you take away good, evil doesn't exist. I still haven't answered. See, this, you may say, okay, I still haven't answered somebody's question. God created us, or created humans, to create evil. Does it feel a little uncomfortable hearing that? Well, I'm going to reread the scripture and let you guys figure it out. All right, I do have a bottom line today, but there's going to be some incompleteness for today because students, good students do what? Study. Amen. Don't leave it all up to us. Amen. We are working out woyo. Everybody say woyo. We're working out our own soul salvation with what? Fear and trembling, because we hope we get it right. I'm going to reread. Proverbs 16:4 says, the sovereign Lord has made everything for what? Its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Already said, evil is not a surprise to God. Perhaps evil is a part of God's playbook. Y'all dig into this. Perhaps pain and suffering. You say, you know, I'm good with the pain and suffering, but I'm not good with the evil part. Perhaps pain and suffering, calamity, and evil acts are being used by God. He's sovereign. Nothing catches him by surprise. It's just this. It is our comprehension of evil is different from God's comprehension of evil. God is going to get the glory however and whatever. It's almost like I'm going in and out of things that saying, teach, sir. Well, hold up, sir. Teach, sir. Hold up, sir. What are you saying? What I am saying is, why is it hard, a hard pill for us to swallow? Why is it hard for his glory, for us to accept his glory? Everybody say his glory. His glory. Everybody say his glory. God has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked. Check 1, 2. His glory is hard to comprehend because it's his glory. That's why we can't really comprehend it, because it's his glory. You ever been in a tight situation and you've said, God, get the glory. In the middle of trouble. Anybody else? You said, God, get the glory. Anybody other than me? I just want to just you say, what are we saying? Are we giving him permission to unleash something? Because how God does things is different than how obviously we think things should be done. God get the glory. What are we asking for? His glory is beyond our comprehension. It's not our glory. It's his glory. Remember, the Bible talks about the earth display what? His glory. It talks about his glory is, seems like to me all throughout the Bible, you see God is very, bless you, God is very interested with receiving all of the what? The glory. But what does glory mean? It means credit. It means, I'll sum it up with the credit. God is going to get the credit. Who else is going to get the credit for things, certain things? But how are we seeing that? How is it a negative connotation? God getting the credit for everything? Hope you guys are thinking this morning, because I'm thinking, asking you guys to think. 2 Corinthians 4:17. You're probably going to shout on this. I'm almost finished. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of what? Glory. What is producing an eternal weight of glory? Light affliction. To us is not a light affliction. Cancer is not a light affliction. Amen. A headache is not a light affliction. Divorce is not a light affliction. But I wonder how God sees evil and afflictions. By the way, you should research and you should look up. There's something called natural evil, and there's something called moral evil. All right? That's two different things. When we're saying we're having trouble with earthquakes and we're having trouble with things that are seemingly natural, but it's producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond what? All comparison. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time. I wonder how did he come to this conclusion. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the what? With the what? The glory that is to be revealed. I don't understand God's glory. Because it doesn't feel, it's a hard pill to swallow. Because if I have to go through for you to get the credit, it's almost like double taxation. God, you already get the credit for creating me. How much more credit do you want? All right? Don't throw stones at me for being honest with God. Amen? How much credit do you want? Do you want a whole lot of credit? You want credit for creating me and having me to go through something and come out of that so just so you can get the credit? To us, it may not make sense. Do you want a lot of floods in the earth and fires just so you can get the credit? So people can say, God is in control. When we say that God is, what do we say when God is in control? We're giving God the what? We're giving God the glory. Every time we put God is in control on whatever you see, you're giving God the what? You're giving God the glory. You're giving God the credit. But is that going to be satisfactory to those that choose to not believe in the God of the Bible? It is not going to be satisfactory. Because why would a good God create evil? But you back up. Remember, evil is only evil. Good, evil is only evil on the backdrop of good. All right? You can actually create evil. You can invite evil. Why would God create humans to create evil? God is going to do what? Get the glory. Isaiah 55. We don't understand this. This doesn't make sense. And we have issues with this. But Isaiah 55, 7 says, I'm almost finished. I think we're going to be out early today. Isaiah 55, 7 says, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let's read that together. Ready, set, go. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their what? Their thoughts. I'm going to skip the next verse and go to for my thoughts. All right, but let's read the top one more time. together. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their what? Their evil thoughts. How does the unrighteous think? How does a person that practices evil deeds, how do they think? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, how I see things is different than how you see things. Neither are your ways my ways. That's basically saying God is holy. We are striving. God is righteous. We are striving for righteousness. We're striving to be holy. It's an effort for us. God exists in holiness. We have to work towards sanctification, and we have to activate the good that's on the inside of us. Amen. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This basically, to sum this up, if I may have the permission to, it's a standard. There's a standard that we all have to try to get to. That's basically what this is saying. His standard is here. And so he said, let the wicked forsake their ways so you can come up to my standard. We can. There's hope. Amen. We just got to activate the morality on the inside of us. Amen. I know there's like this analysis of paralysis when we see what's going on. You say, man, there's a lot going on. What should I do next? And then 10 years later rolls by. What should I do next? All right. This is how I'm going to close. All right, are you guys thinking this morning? But all you guys are encouraged. I wonder if God sees evil and calamity different than how we see it. Perhaps evil is a part of his will. I paused on purpose. Well, define will, Alpheus. Will equals intent, purpose, a design, and a playbook. God has a playbook. We absolutely would never, ever understand his playbook. Is that a fair statement? We would never understand his purpose. I'd be the first to admit, God, why did you do this? We are saying, I don't understand your will. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, said himself, not my will, but what? Because he didn't understand the will of the Father. He said, I don't know what's going on, because God the Father has a playbook that we ain't gonna never understand. That's why I think a real sweet part of pleasing God and making him proud is simply trusting in him. Man, when you go and you do something God told you to do and you don't understand it, no, you're not saying, ah, ba, 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 see. But man, when you do that, you act upon something and you do what God tells you to do, you start a business, you write a book, you give to the poor, you come to church, you stay married, you choose to get on. That is trust That's trusting God. He is saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what he's saying. When you simply trust in him. Amen. When you walk out of here and you do something in faith. Well, he's smiling. He's smiling at us. He loves it when we trust him. Amen. He loves it when we step out on faith. It is a hard pill to swallow that perhaps God ordained evil. Well, what is ordained, Alpheus? Explain ordain. When you go to the drive-thru, you actually are ordaining something. You are ordering something. You are saying, I need this to happen. You are ordering. You're ordering or you are ordering. You can order or you can order. You can order or you can order. That makes sense? It's a difference. We order at the drive-thru. God orders from heavenly places. Make sense? God doesn't order, he orders. God doesn't order, he orders. That's what ordain means. He didn't say, I hope evil stops. Why is God hoping evil stops? Is he hoping evil stop? Evil is going to stop. This is how I'm going to really officially end. And you could probably stand up because this is really signal to me, Alpheus, end it. Let's be very clear, because it's 1,000 scriptures that supports this. God is just. Everybody say, God is just. And let's be clear, the wicked and evil deeds will have their day in court. You think evil is going to go unpunished? Justice will be served. Proverbs 5:22 says, the shadow of your sin will overtake you. You will find yourself stumbling all over yourself in the dark. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act. God, come on. It almost sounds like something that a group of people that they said there was something was going to break out in the earth, and they were so disappointed when it didn't break out during the election. And they was like, all right, when is this going to happen? All right, this is probably an inside. You got to really be deep into this if you just understood what I just said. But it didn't happen. But it sounds like this group of people. God does not delay as though he were unable to act and is not slow about his promise. The promises of God are yea and still amen. Amen. God has made us a promise if we accept him, and we're going to get it. Everybody say, we're going to get it. We are going to get it. We're going to get it. That's good news. Everybody say, we're going to get it. That's what we have, a hope. We got a different something. Christianity, we have something different that everybody else don't have. We have this hope. We don't have to blow ourselves up and think we're going to be in heaven for blowing ourselves up. Amen? Amen? We can live right and still suffer and still have this hope that it's going to get better. And trust God and say God is in control. In other words, God, you orchestrated all of this, and it's a hard pill to swallow, but I'm okay with it. Do y'all think we're going to live forever? First of all, that's one thing I would change. Amen. I would probably create a robot and make them live in Aruba forever, not Hawaii. But God's ways is not our ways, all right? So it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, even when we say God is in control, but is extraordinarily patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And that's, listen, Linda, that's good news. That's good news, because I'm looking at a dozen or more of us in here, and we are still here. Thank you. Somebody got it. Because God did not give us what we deserve. Because nobody in here is sinless. And to me, the last time I checked in the law book, when somebody does something bad, there's usually a punishment. They deserve some sort of punishment for it. When you don't get that punishment, what is that called? Grace and mercy. Lift your hands and clap your hands for God's grace. Whatever you want to do. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. I'm still here. You did not kill me in my sin. You did not take me out in the middle of a crazy thought. You spared my life when I was on drugs. You spared my life. God, I actually rejected you a lot of times, and you were patient. You were patient with me. You were patient towards me because you did not come to condemn the world. John 3:17. But you came to save the world through Jesus. And if you're watching online, if you're in here, if you're watching and you say, sir, that last thing you said is phenomenal, because a lot of people judge me, and you're saying that God did not come to the earth to condemn the world, but to save it. I want to be a part of that. And so if you can close your eyes in here and just say, Lord, thank you for not condemning me. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for giving me what I do not deserve. Thank you for not giving me what I deserve. Thank you, Lord, for giving me what I deserve. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for washing me clean. I confess with my mouth, Jesus, I believe in my heart. God, you raised Jesus from the dead. Live with me every single day. Help me, God, to serve you. God, this is a hard pill to swallow. But God, I thank you for being in control. Lord, help my belief. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I praise you, and I give you all, every glory. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Everybody clap your hands.